Hey guys, welcome to this brand new episode of Astrophysica's podcast. Myself, Aman Mohan, and with me is Shweta Ramkumar. Hey Shweta.
Hi Aman. Hi guys.
Hey guys, and first of all, let me wish you all a happy new year. And so since it's a new year and we came to the end of 2021, let's do a quick rewind of the highlights from 2021, okay, in the astronomical field. So first we had the Perseverance landing on 18th February, where we witnessed the touchdown for NASA's latest Mars rover, the Perseverance, and the helicopter, the Ingenuity. And Perseverance will study Martian soil for past and present signs of life and also test out new technology for future human missions.
Our two closest planetary neighbors appeared together in the sky when Mars and Venus were in conjunction on 13 July. Typically, conjunction is where two celestial objects look close to one another in the sky. That is when they have the same right ascension or elliptical longitude. The angular separation between Mars and Venus will be so small though that they will appear as a single object. And for the first time in history, a spacecraft has touched the Sun. So NASA's Parker solar probe has now flown through the Sun's upper atmosphere, the corona, and sample particles and magnetic fields there. How crazy. And this new milestone marks one major step for Parker solar probe and one giant leap for solar science.
True. And finally, I think this was the most awaited astronomical event, I think, in the decade itself. The success of the Hubble Space Telescope, the James Webb Space Telescope, or the JWST, was launched on 24th December after many years of delays. And the new telescope will have a mirror capable of collecting over 6 times the amount of light than Hubble can, meaning it will see more and see further. The James Webb Telescope will also see in different wavelengths of light than Hubble, making use of the infrared part of the electromagnetic spectrum, giving us a brand new views into the universe. So guys, that was it for the highlights from 2021. Now let's go on to today's topic, which is gravitational lensing. And I must say, while I was doing some background research on this topic, I came across some really cool looking images, and I hope by the end of this talk we'll be able to answer the reason behind those images. So gravitational lensing, in a vacuum, light always travels in straight lines. And while this is the case for many situations on Earth, when we look out into the universe, the situation is much more complex. And in November 1915, Albert Einstein published his theory of general relativity.
And a key point in his theory is that massive objects distort the fabric of space-time.
True. And when the light passes one of these objects, such as a cluster of galaxies, its path is changed slightly. And this effect, called the gravitational lensing, is only visible in rare cases, and only the best telescopes can observe the related phenomena. And smaller objects like individual stars can also act as gravitational lenses when they pass in front of more distant stars.
Yeah, it's much like a normal lens, magnifying lens, you can say. But for a few days or weeks, light from more distant star, it temporarily appears brighter because it is magnified by the gravity of the closer object. And this effect is known as gravitational microlensing.
Yeah, and the simplest type of gravitational lensing occurs when there's a single concentration of matter at the center, such as the dense core of a galaxy. And the light of a distant galaxy is redirected around this core, often producing multiple images of the background galaxy.
Wow, well, that already sounds amazing. So strong gravitational lensing can actually result in such strongly bent light that multiple images of the light emitting galaxy are formed.
Yeah, and you know, weak gravitational lensing results in galaxies appearing distorted, or either stretched or magnified. Although difficult to measure for an individual galaxy, galaxies clustered close together will exhibit similar lensing patterns.
And when the lensing approaches perfect symmetry, a complete or almost complete circle of light is produced. And this was famously known as the Einstein ring. And Hubble observations have helped to greatly increase the number of Einstein rings known to astronomers.
Yeah. And the concept of gravitational lensing lets astronomers learn more about the amount of mass and dark matter that is present in the foreground galaxies. And dark matter is, as the name alludes to, dark. The only way for astronomers to study is to see how its gravity affects visible objects. And astronomers don't know what the dark matter is yet.
Yeah, very true. So gravitational lensing in fact provides more information about background or foreground objects and gives astronomers a tool to see where the dark matter must lie based on, say, its effects on background galaxies.
True. And scientists searching for more gravitational lenses to study have enlisted the help of artificial intelligence. And in 2017, astronomers used an algorithm and an AI to detect 56 gravitational lens candidates. As of February 2021, AI has now found more than 1,200 gravitational lens candidates. So Shweta, I think you mentioned earlier, but when I too was going through gravitational lensing, I came across these terms from an Einstein ring and Einstein cross. This was the image I was talking about. The image looked really cool, and I mean, I was confused. I mean, how the image came to be. So please do explain those terms.
Yeah, very true. So gravitational lenses can, you know, create a phenomena in a wide variety of shapes and sizes. But two of the most well-known of them are the Einstein cross and the Einstein ring. While there are many Einstein crosses, there's only one with the proper name of the Einstein cross, which was discovered in 1985. It provides an excellent example of a quasar that we see through a gravitational lens. And this quasar sits directly behind a galaxy, and we see it as four points of light surrounding the nearer galaxy.
Yeah, exactly. So that explains those four division kind of symbolized on the image. So I guess that means when a galaxy or quasar is off center, or say slightly away from the foreground object, the lens creates a ring or arc instead of the points. And that's how Einstein rings appear around many distant galaxies, right?
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, so that's it for today's episode, guys. And thank you for listening and supporting us for the last year. And we hope you show the same love in the coming years too. So this is Aman Mohan signing off with Shweta Ramkumar. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. Happy New Year.